This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Welcome back to the Jesse Kelly Show. I'm Lydia Serrani filling in for him this evening. You can follow me on social media at Lydia News, LIDIANEWS, like you watch on TV. And I'm on TV on Newsmax Saturdays at 5 p.m. Eastern and then Sundays at noon Eastern. We've been talking a lot about what's going on in this country, specifically under the Biden regime that seems to be hell-bent on destroying everything on his way out. The poor fool. He's a fool, right? I mean, they played him for a fool. If you look at Joe Biden from back in the day, he was for stiffer penalties, right? He was the law and order guy. He was the moderate Democrat. Now he's letting out child killers, the largest day of clemency in modern history. What has happened? The deep state is alive and well, and Donald Trump, President Trump, Elon Musk, Vivek Ramaswamy, and the other MAGA team of Avengers, but they're not avenging Trump and what they did to him. They're avenging what they've done to us, to the American people, all the communities and lives they've destroyed with their horrific policies, trying to make the extreme mainstream, trying to convince us that it's okay for a child to chemically castrate themselves. Do you know that the hormones that kids inject themselves with, like the trans thing or whatever, they cause cancer? It's the same drugs given to prisoners that have been chemically castrated. It is the same that if a woman has breast cancer, testicular cancer, any kind of hormonal cancers, and a lot of those drugs, you can't even stay on them for longer than a couple of years because your chance of getting osteoporosis, which is like the weakening of the bones, it increases exponentially, the chance of you getting cancer. So all these kids, they're just, it's a fad. It's a social experiment gone awry. And yet, we're supposed to accept this, that this is normal, this is what should be done, and it's all being perpetuated by the woke media, right? If you, like, so I'm a journalist, and I was a reporter for many, many years, and I worked at local Fox stations. I worked at one in South Carolina. I worked in New York City for almost 7 years, and the majority of those people in the newsroom specifically, I also worked at CBS News for a couple of years. I was an intern at The View. When you're talking about CBS News, New York City, even Fox 5, even though it's Fox, it's New York City. A lot of these kids, they come from very wealthy families. And I didn't realize just like I come from a middle class family. My parents, they worked for everything. We weren't poor by any means. We were middle class. But these kids, like the parents, they run the law firms. I remember one girl, her dad was like a big wig at some food company. And I didn't realize until I knew how much my friend was getting paid, my coworker, and how much I was getting paid. And she had a terrace apartment on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And I was still living with my parents. So, because you couldn't afford to live in New York City on what we were being paid. You think, oh, you're New York City, you're a reporter, but the rent is astronomical without having a couple of roommates. But this is what's happening. Our media is corrupt. They need to clean house. Karine Jean-Pierre, the day after that report came out about the Wall Street Journal report, right, that Joe Biden was MIA on a lot of issues, like the disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal, right? They purposely kept meeting short because he couldn't handle it. They did the shoes. Remember, they gave him specific shoes. They gave him shorter stairs. He was falling asleep recently at this summit in Africa. I mean, the list goes on, and they all played cover up, knowing this guy was not fit to even drive to the make-believe McDonald's that Kamala Harris pretended to work at to go get his ice cream. He can't even drive a car. Okay, that's what's happening in the world today. And that is the president of the United States. So what President Trump needs to do, and there is talk about him doing it, is he's going to redo the White House press briefing room. So right after that bombshell report came out, not a single reporter asked her about it. KJP, Karine Jean-Pierre, not a single one of them. Now, granted, she only calls on certain reporters. So it's not like maybe somebody wanted to ask about it, but That has to stop. Everybody needs to take turns. She purposely calls on certain people. Questions are planted. It's absolutely disgusting. George Stephanopoulos, $15 million. That's all ABC News. He lied multiple times that Trump was guilty of rape, when meanwhile he was found civilly liable of battery. Big difference. Yet everywhere you looked, every channel you turned on, every media pundit on CNN, MSDNC, all these, even the local, they said rape, 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 because they wanted to say he's a rapist and a racist, a rapist and a racist. But thank God the majority of Americans woke up and said, we don't buy the BS. This is a lie. This is a lie. I want you to take a listen to this Rosie O'Donnell, okay? She now has a severe case of Elon derangement syndrome. So now Elon is getting all of this hate because of just his association with Trump. Let's take a listen, clip 15.
What can we say about Elon Musk? How did this happen? How is this allowed to happen? How is the richest man in the world allowed to buy the presidency? How? And where are the scholars, and where are the lawyers, and where are the poets and the political commentators who are gonna not normalize this insanity? It is absolutely insane. Insane. And those Tesla cars are so ugly.
She's one, she has some nerve calling anything else ugly. Her daughter is like a meth addict. Rosie, look within your home first. Solve that problem. Focus on that. Focus on that, Rosie O'Donnell, instead of demonizing Elon Musk, who's done a lot of great things for the world, not just only for this country. But you've got people like Rosie O'Donnell and people like this woman. I found the clip of her on social media, who says she's trans and brags about how many abortions she has, but her dad is apparently the bad guy. Clip 14.
I took yesterday to be angry and miserable, and I also took yesterday to make the decision to block my father, who will still end up seeing this. So, hi, Dad. And yes, I did block him because of who he voted for, because he knows that I am trans, and he knows that I have had two abortions, and he still voted for Project 2025, which to me is reprehensible. I have my husband who loves and supports me to the ends of the earth. I have my friends who love and support me to the ends of the earth. And I have other family members who love and support me to the ends of the earth. And I genuinely do not need anyone else. I realize this is something not everyone is able to do safely. And I'm very grateful for my ability to do that safely. I cut my mother off until the day she died. And
you can stop
I
playing
can
it. Oh
and
my God.
Will.
Oh, she makes me sick. He, she, it, whatever, it, dummy. And she's, can you imagine the guy that thing must be married to? We know who's in charge in the bedroom there. So Cardinal Dolan here in New York City. I want, you know, because we're going to go to break soon, but I wanted to leave it on this, and then I'll take some phone calls before I go then to my next guest too. Listen to what he says about Trump. And how what's going on with Trump, this kind of religious awakening, mirrors what is happening across the nation. Clip 17.
There seems to be a newfound appreciation for the role of faith, especially in our country, okay? I think President Trump tapped into that, don't you?
I do.
I mean, I've had talks with him before in the past where he's pretty blunt about, you know, he can't say that he was raised as a very zealous Christian, but he takes his Christian faith seriously. He has a lot of memories about Norman Vincent Peale, the famous preacher here in New York, down a ways on Fifth Avenue. And I think he means it. And I think the assassination attempts kind of renewed in him, oh my. There's something beyond me that I think is watching over me and has got a task for me. And what he expresses personally seems to be expressed more and more throughout the world. And that's part of America.
That is part of America, right? And so when I was actually sitting in the anchor chair when Trump was shot. And I remember sitting there, we were doing a pre-show for the rally, and I was watching the rally because you sit there. And then he went down because of his training. And I marvel at the fact that God saved his life, and God saved Trump's life for a reason. Think about it. It had to be God, right? It had to be that at that very perfect moment, for that very split second, he tilted his head ever so slightly. So instead of that bullet entering his brain, piercing his skull, it clipped the top of his ear. So Trump has a mandate not only for the American people, but he has a promise he needs to fulfill with God Almighty. I'm Lydia Serrani at Lydia News, LIDIANEWS. That's LIDIANEWS. I'll be on Newsmax tomorrow for Carl Higbee, 5 p.m. Eastern. I'm going to take some phone calls on the way back, 1-877-377-4373, 1-877-377-4373. We'll be right back.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
Welcome back to the Jesse Kelly Show. I'm Lydia Serrani. You can follow me on social media, Lydia News, LIDIANEWS. That's like news like you watch on TV, and I'm on Newsmax. We're talking about the woke and the battle being waged on our nation, and we've got some great callers. Mike, you've been, I'm so sorry we left you on hold for a while, from Colorado. What's on your mind?
Lydia, you are awesome, and I could tell you that on January 20th, the executive order for race quotas should be pulled out by the roots. Now, we have open borders. We know who's behind it. The two big political parties and the corporate establishment want this country flooded. And because of the flood of illegals coming into the country, every enemy of America has their people in this country. And people have to realize what is also going on. A lot of foreign dictatorships, countries are buying up a real estate inside of America on pennies on the dollar. That's why they like to destroy the big cities. This is often never mentioned anywhere, but this is taking place. And what is going on is the Democrats, the leftists, feel that they can control all the illegals coming into the cities as these foreign countries pour money in. A lot of the money comes from our foreign aid, unfortunately. But we need a timeout on legal immigration, and we need illegal immigration stop cold. And also, Lydia, do you know who Steve from Manhattan is? He is a legend, along with Patrick Buchanan.
Oh, wait, he says the Buchanan thing. Is that you? Okay, we'll hang it up. All right. Thanks, Mike from Colorado, for calling in. You know, he brought up a good point, though. He's China. They own so much farmland. You know, we're not allowed. Americans are not allowed, because of the Communist Party, we're not allowed to buy any land in China. China, like Trump says it. But here, they're buying up all this farmland. They're even buying up fertility clinics. You name it. You heard General Holt on this show just a short time ago. He was talking about how he thinks these drones are from China. You know, the Chinese spy balloon. I mean, it just goes on and on. Why have we allowed China, which is poisoning, because it's not drug overdoses, it's poisoning Americans in mass. They say, the CDC says, over 100,000 people, Americans, have died from fentanyl poisonings, overdoses. But I guarantee you it's exponentially higher. And it's just like a speck of it. And every drug. And why are they purposely targeting young people? It is horrific what has Joe Biden and his cohorts, his co-conspirators, have allowed to happen in this country. Let's go to Sarah from Rhode Island. Sarah, are you still there?
Hi, Lydia.
What's on your mind?
Yes, can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear.
Well, I was a victim of sexual assault when I was 9 years old.
Mm, I'm so sorry you went through that.
I had the courage to report it to the police. And it turns out there were 5 other victims. He went to jail for 10 years. So the message that Biden is sending to people like me who survived is that he doesn't care.
Yeah, he doesn't care. Sarah, thank you. I'm so sorry you went through that. And I'll pray for you that you can continue to heal from the the trauma that you experience. I have a daughter. She's 7 years old, and I would kill. I would literally, there's no doubt in my mind. And I know every person listening to me right now feels exactly the same way, that you're not even an animal. If you commit a crime against a child, you are a monster. You need to be put down. You need to be put down. That's it. I know I'm a Catholic and I'm pro-life, but people that have no respect for human life, they don't deserve to live on this planet, especially sex offenders, especially when it comes to children. I don't understand what's going on with Joe Biden. I do not understand. I mean, then again, what do you expect? He denies Navy Biden, right? Hunter's daughter with the girl that at the strip club. How do you deny the existence of your own granddaughter? Who does that? Who does that? And then you want to walk around and you say, oh, I carry rosary beads in my pocket. And you talk about being a faithful Catholic. He is such a hypocrite. And I know I'm bashing him, but he deserves everything he gets. I don't feel sorry for him. I do not feel sorry for him. And I feel, you know what? I feel sorry for him when he dies, if he doesn't repent, because these people, they think there is no God. I can promise you there is a God. There is a higher power. And if their judgment, it doesn't happen here on earth, they're going to feel it tenfold in the afterlife. And I pray for these people, pray for their souls. You have to pray for your enemies. That's what one of my friends, that's what we're taught, because, you know, in Albanian, there's a phrase, skapse me dik, like there's no reason for this person to die, because God help them when they do die. And that's what I feel is going to happen to a lot of the people that have wreaked a lot of havoc, from the Nancy Pelosi's to the Joe Biden's and the Kamala Harris's and all those other Democrats that have systematically ruined lives. If you think about it, Jocelyn Nungare, the 12-year-old little girl. And I don't understand. Do you know Joe Biden has never said her name? He's never said her name. He tried to say Lincoln Riley's name. He called her Lincoln. They never made a phone call. Yet Kamala Harris put on her Twitter, because remember it was Twitter before, to bail out rioters during the Black Lives Matter nonsense. And BLM should stand for Buys Large Mansions. And we know that was a total fraud. I'm Lydia Serrani at Lydia News, LIDIANEWS. When we come back, we're going to talk about the media's role, the propaganda machine that's been complicit in this chaos. Don't go anywhere.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Welcome back to the Jesse Kelly Show. I'm Lydia Serrani. You can follow me on social media at Lydia News, LIDIANEWS. We've been talking about the insanity that's enveloping this nation and the media complicit in all of this. I think that's what helped Trump win, is the fact that he did alternative media. His son, Barron, brilliant kid, obviously. And he told him, do Joe Rogan, do this podcast, do that. And people realize, like, wow. And then the Twitter, the X, Joe Biden, the legacy media that made it's dead. It's dead. That's why CNN, they're getting clobbered in the ratings. MSDNC, Joyless Reid, they're hacks. They're liars. They try to convince you to not believe your eyes, your ears, your bank accounts. But thank God people woke up and they saw. And that's why it's important to have media outlets like this show, like Newsmax, where you can see me tomorrow filling in for Carl Higbee and my next guest, Curtis Houck. He is the managing editor for Newsbusters. He's been instrumental in holding the legacy media, the mainstream media, accountable. Curtis, thanks so much for joining us.
No problem, my friend.
Curtis, where can people find you? Because you always have the best clips on social media.
Yeah, on X, it is at Curtis Houck, CURTISHOUCK, all one word. And I put out all sorts of clips on the network, morning shows, evening shows, the White House press briefings, although we haven't been doing a lot of those, so much more. Whatever fun stuff kind of percolates or catches my eye or catches the eye of my colleagues, I'll be sure to share it as well. There's a few of us mighty folks out there. We were accused, Lydia, of being the cheap fake artists back in June with Joe Biden, but, you know, we had the last laugh.
Absolutely. And are you surprised? So we have some monitors here, CNN, MSDNC. They don't even mention some of the people that Joe Biden has pardoned. Instead, they've been talking about Matt Gaetz, blah, 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 that which is just it's so stupid. That whole story. What is the point of that? He's not even a member of Congress anymore. They don't mention, Curtis, that one of the monsters that Joe Biden just commuted his sentence is Jorge Avila Torres. And in 2005, he raped and killed Laura Hobbs, a nine-year-old Crystal Tobias. He also murdered a female Navy officer at Joint Base Meyer Henderson in 2009. He's just one of many child killers. I mean, the list goes on and on with some of the people that Joe Biden gave clemency to. Another one, Kabani Savage. He was convicted of killing or ordering the killing of 12 people. The murders included four children. Why doesn't it's the media's duty to hold the spotlight, to hold the powerful accountable, and yet they're not doing it.
Yeah, well, first of all, yeah, it's not like these guys were out committing check fraud or something like that, or even like they robbed a bank. This is like heinous stuff that, like, in detail, you can't really describe on family radio or television, you know, to grant to the detail that it probably deserves. What's interesting, Lydia, is this story has been covered a little bit today on the networks, cable, but you're right, they don't go below the surface. They'll just say, Joe Biden pardoned all these people, and he left these people on death row. And it'll go into detail about that because they're all people that we know. The Boston bomber, the Charleston church shooter, and the Pittsburgh synagogue shooter. But you won't get into the others. Everyone else, you won't go below the surface. They'll just say that, oh, these people have paid their debt to society and they've been in prison a long time, yada, yada, yada. But, like, you're not going below the surface. And this ties, Lydia, too, to, like, the media's coverage of the campaign and what we've been seeing in the confirmation fight so far, where the media will try to distill the Trump picks or Trump policies or the blows, day-to-day blows of the campaign into really simplistic terms to try to make it seem like they're the good guys, Trump people are the bad guys, they don't know what they're doing, they're maniacal, they're infants, they can't really decide which thing insult they want to use some days. And they don't want to go below the surface. It's just with, like, what's going on with Hegseth and Tulsi Gabbard and all these Cash Patel and all these people is that they know that if they make it to the confirmation hearings, America people with YouTube or C-SPAN will be able to hear Newsmax, will be able to hear them unfiltered for, you know, minutes on end, uninterrupted. Mm-hmm. And you can hear, oh my gosh, these people are really smart, actually. Oh, Donald Trump actually really has a plan for this thing. Like the Panama Canal, they boil this thing down to, what does Trump want to do with the Panama Canal? And it's like, okay, well, they're ripping us off, number one. And number two, Panama is letting a Chinese-linked company come in and kind of basically run the show. And Trump is like, yeah, that's a problem. National security threat there, chief.
Yeah, and that's how fake news is created. It's not just about not covering the story. It's about omitting certain facts. And you'd be hard-pressed to see anywhere about the Chinese Communist Party connection to what's going on. They're just like, oh, Trump is a dictator. He wants to take over the world. Again, we're talking to Curtis Houck. He's the Newsbusters managing editor. Do you think the legacy media is dead? Do you think the White House press briefing room is going to be flipped around once Trump gets into office?
I sure hope so. I mean, Sean Spicer caused great the conniption when he'd start some briefings by, like, calling on the Washington Times or the New York Post first. And he would then go to, like, the legacy media second, third, fourth. But because he didn't go to them first, it was like the complete end of the world. Caroline Leavitt has been, you know, ready for this for a long time. Folks forget she started out as an assistant to Kayleigh McEnany in the last few months of the White House. So she kind of saw up close how it's done, so to speak. So I think she's able to take these folks on and realign the seating chart, which is set by the White House Correspondents Association. A lot of listeners may not know that. Just say, this is nonsense. This is the people's house. We're the people that were elected. None of you were elected, even though you claim to represent the American people. We're going to change some things up and use the executive office building auditorium, the one where Joe Biden had the fake Oval Office that people would see. With the giant teleprompters and all that for a lot of his events, using that for podcasters like you talked about, too. It's interesting, too, Lydia. It's just thinking about this. The legacy media tell us that they're the smartest people in the room, but yet in their coverage, as I was just pointing out, they don't seem to want to go below the surface. So you wonder, who's smart? And what is it exactly that you guys do around here besides playing defense and goaltender for the left?
Right. And I remember one of my friends, she's, you know, I'm in New York City. So a lot of people, they're hardcore, you know, Democrats. And I remember the Trump with the civil rape case, you know, with E. Jean Carroll. And she was like, oh, my God, he's raped this woman and this and that. I said, well, why didn't she come forward decades ago? And by the way, who is funding this civil case? And you notice, like, they sometimes they wouldn't even say civil, like they would say it, but it wouldn't be in the headline. Who's funding it? Yeah, trial. Reid Hoffman, who is the biggest Democrat donor. Reid Hoffman, co-founder of LinkedIn. This is all funneled money. This is Democrat power play. He was being politically persecuted. This is all part of the master plan to label this guy. And they never mentioned that. They never mentioned Reid Hoffman. Who is the guy? Who is funneling this entire project?
Yeah, George Soros and his son too. Jennings on CNN yesterday said, "Oh, we're all freaking out about Elon Musk's role in politics when the Soroses have been running around collecting journalists like Pokemon cards, you know, for years now, and Reid Hoffman has been playing all these games with Mark Elias, the liberal voting rights lawyer." And, you know, the liberal media just never really seemed to bat an eye. And MSNBC would have Mark Elias on and talk about Reid Hoffman, but they would praise them. Instead of denying that certain things are happening, they're usually a step ahead where they say, oh, no, this is happening, and therefore it is good, which is also interesting. But you're right. It's all about word games and trying to manufacture consent about creating a permission structure for certain things to happen, whether it's convicting Donald Trump or taking this to an extreme end, which was the assassination attempts on his life this past year, and what just happened with the United Healthcare CEO. You're diluting the public discourse, and then you're the ones claiming that, oh, it's the other people that are doing it, it's the MAGA folks that are doing it. Well, that's Alinsky-like tactics. Obama tactics have not left, just because Obama has been out of the Oval Office for a while now.
You know, Curtis, I have to go, but real quick, I made a bold prediction that we might not have Bill Clinton around much longer. What do you think about that?
I saw a tweet. Yeah, it's a joke, of course. He had information that would lead to the arrest of his wife, Hillary Clinton. so you know, that's a joke, folks. But yes, he's Billy Bubba. He came out with his little book, so I don't know. Maybe he's just sad about what's happening to the Democratic Party.
Maybe. All right. Curtis Houck, again, managing editor of Newsbusters. Check him out. Has the great clips. You don't want to miss out on all the great stuff that you put out. And I'll see you on TV.
Yeah, absolutely. Take care, Lydia. Merry Christmas.
All right. Thank you. Merry Christmas. All right. Again, I'm Lydia Serrani, Lydia News, LIDIANEWS. It's been fabulous. I'm going to take some calls on the way back, and we'll be right back.
Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
That's some Blink 182. Say it ain't so, it's time to go. I love me some Blink 182. You know, I've had a blast being with you guys. You can catch me on Newsmax anytime, and I'll be back with you on the 30th and hopefully more times after that, filling in for Jesse Kelly. He deserves the time off. He works so hard. And you know, Trump, he always works for the, also a hard worker, always working for the American people. Remember when he even had COVID, he continued to work. Meantime, you know, Joe Biden, he'd be down for the count. He needs a nap in the middle of the day for hours at a time. Remember when he was meeting the families, the return of the remains of the soldiers from Afghanistan? There's a report out there that says that he was late to it because he was taking a nap. He was taking a nap. I mean, this January 20th, it can't come soon enough. But President Trump, he says the golden age is upon us. Clip 4.
And for all of us standing before you today, I can proudly proclaim that the golden age of America is upon us.
It is. It certainly is. Let's bring in Joe from Massachusetts. Joe?
Hello, Lydia. Thank you for taking my call. Before I get into one, I'm a first-time caller. I have cancer, so wish me luck. I'm visually impaired. And I have a few things that I want to ask you. Are these people going to be out of jail in Biden, or are they just commuted? Because if they're still going to be in jail, that's better. And
they're
I just
still
hope
be
that
in
we
jail.
Can contact... Oh, they are?
Yeah, they're still going to be in jail, but they were set to have the death penalty, so they'll still be in jail. But the other ones from the 1,500, some of them are getting out, like the Chinese guy with the CCP ties, he's getting out. And the judge that was supposed to be in for 17 years, he's getting out. But these last 37 out of the 40, they're still going to, they're just getting off death row.
Can Mr. Trump rearrange this? And I'd love to contact him and get some help, because it's hard for some of us people that are visually impaired and don't have any family. But can he be contacted, and can he reverse this ruling, or is it not reversible?
It's not reversible. That's what's crazy. The president's power. No, it's not reversible. It's absolute. Once you're pardoned, like Hunter, he's pardoned. That's it. Doesn't matter. And that's why he did such a broad pardon for his son Hunter for many years ago. And that's why they're even talking about blanket pardons, which I'm going to make another prediction here. I think he's going to give out some blanket pardons to some of his friends. Joe Biden, before he goes out, because he's completely ruined his entire legacy, whatever was left of it, his almost 50 years or whatever in politics. But I think he's going to do that on his way out, too. Joe, I will pray for you, for your cancer. Never underestimate the power of prayer, folks. Never underestimate it. Joe from New York City.
Lydia, Joe? You are tremendous tonight. Yes, Lydia, you've done a great job tonight. Unbelievable. And we appreciate it out here, believe me. The problem with America today is that we have flooded this country with people from all over the world who have rebuilt the Democratic Party into a left-wing party. It's the 65 Immigration Act, along with all the illegal immigration and the invasion of America. And I noticed something that's going on that no one else has been bringing up. You know, that beautiful nursing student down in Georgia, we know her name. But nobody ever mentions the name of her murderer, or the little 12-year-old girl in Texas who was murdered and sexually assaulted. We don't ever hear the names of the people who did it. But why do we keep hearing Luigi's name and Pelosi's name? Isn't there something going on here that we don't want to talk about? Why are we protecting all these people? But certain people, they will continually. One guy who claims to be conservative must have said Luigi's name at least 20 times in about a 2-3 minute sentence, and he was saying it when he didn't even have to. But nobody in this audience knows the name of the murderer of that beautiful lake in Riley in Georgia. Why don't they say these names, and why are they protecting them, and why are they protecting them, and why is it being done this way? Why do they protect them? Because they're protecting, folks, the invasion of America.
They are. Thank you, Joe, from New York City. I agree with you. They don't even want to mention their illegal aliens. I remember I was on the air when it finally came out that Jose Ibarra, that's the killer for Lake and Riley, that he was an illegal. This guy that incinerated the poor woman on the subway, he's an illegal. To this day, they won't even talk about it, that he's an illegal alien. Oh, why does his immigration status matter? It matters because they shouldn't have been here. And had not Joe Biden incentivized this invasion, how many people would be alive today? How many people? They're all innocent, mostly women, young people. It's unbelievable. Let's go to Howard from Long Island.
Hi, Lydia. Thank you so much for taking the call. I just want to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas. I've been following you when you were on the other radio station. You were so good there, and now I see you on Newsmax. I see the growth that you've had. I remember someone said that you weren't meant for TV, and boy, were they wrong. You're a superstar. I love you. I love Jesse Kelly, and I hope that when Jesse Kelly isn't around, if you can fit it in your schedule, I hope he makes you a permanent, you know, replacement until you can do also a radio show in addition to what you do on Newsmax, if that's what you want to do.
Oh, Howard, you're so sweet. And the check is in the mail. Thank you. No, I'm joking. Oh, Howard, you are so sweet. Thank you so much for calling in. It has been my honor and my pleasure. I love doing radio because it feels like you have this intimate relationship conversation, and there's so many awesome, amazing people out there. I'm going to end this show like I end my TV show. Thanks to Chris Ruddy of Newsmax, my boss. He's a great guy. Trust and remember that God is with you in all ways, always. Never forget that. Trust and remember, God is with you in all ways, always. God bless you guys. Again, I'm Lydia Serrani. You can follow me at Lydia News, LIDIANEWS. Merry Christmas and God bless. God bless you all.
This is an iHeart podcast.